The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You're listening to The Dory Monson Show. I am not Dory. The voice you hear is Jason Rantz filling in for Dory. He will return tomorrow. Ursula Roitine sticking around for just a moment. Where is Dory?
Well, he is on his way to London.
That is my favorite city.
Is that right?
I absolutely love London. He's getting to go to my favorite city, and I'm getting to fill in for my favorite Cairo host.
Well, there you go.
Where's Nicole?
She is also on her way to London.
Because Andrew is filling in for Nicole, Andrew Lanier, as producer, and you're...
Yes. I'm the only one stuck behind. What does that say about me?
I sense a fracture in the relationship between the three of you. They left you. You would nag them on the 12-hour flight over, wouldn't you? Be honest.
No, nag.
Right,
no, I never do that.
Come on. Are you drinking enough? Are you hydrated? Are you taking a nap? You're going to have to be worried about the time difference. No?
No.
Okay. Well, welcome. I hope to make it.
Thank you.
I hope to make the next 3 hours for you.
Welcome to you.
As good as it would have been had you gone to London.
I'm usually here. I actually just went on a trip, so I'm happy for them. But
ladies and gentlemen, she just went on a trip, which is both a humble brag and a way to get out of the crippling depression from being left here from not going to London.
I don't feel left out at all. But you know what? What I love is that they're going to be doing the show from there.
Yeah.
So everyone will get a chance to join in on the fun without having to pay the expense.
Well, there you go. It's almost like you're taking a trip specifically to London. Well, there you go. Let's find out what's in the big lead.
The big lead. Big local.
So this is a story that's getting a lot of traction right now online. It's been sent to me multiple times from a whole bunch of different people. Fred's Guns out in Squim placed an ad in the Peninsula Daily News and the Squim Gazette. And it's a pretty basic ad. It explains what they do, why they do it, some basic information on how to get to them should you want to purchase your weapons there. But their ad was altered in a way that makes it seem like they support an initiative that they definitely don't support. Joining on the line live this afternoon, Seth Larson. He is the owner of Fred's Gun, which is a little confusing to me, Seth, because it's called Fred's Guns, but we'll figure that out in a moment. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So in this ad, you included a vote no on 1639. It is very much an anti-gun initiative. And in the final ad that appeared in the Peninsula Daily News and the Squim Gazette, there was a little bit of a change. Take us through it.
So we paid for an ad to be put in the Peninsula Daily News and the Gazette that stated specifically to vote no with the decal, vote no on this bill. And we approved it. And what was put through was an altered one where they altered the art on this bill as if we approved it. How we found out was through email and angry phone calls that, how could we support this? Why did you do this? So I did an official statement on my Facebook page at Fred's Guns 2.0 stating we did not approve this. So far, it's had over 100,000 hits. It's kind of going viral right now.
Yeah.
People are very angry. They are canceling their subscription to the newspaper. I'm just very disappointed because this is a serious bill. This takes away the rights of our veterans, and our current military, it makes it so it's illegal for them to even own a firearm if you're in the military until you're 21.
It's ridiculous. But here's my question for you, because obviously my takeaway from the ad that appeared, according to your Facebook post, was that you wanted people to vote on 1639. And clearly that's not what your intention was. When you contacted the Peninsula, Daily News of the Squim Gazette, what did they tell you happened?
I just got off the phone with them about 40 minutes ago. They said it was a mistake through miscommunications. We went back and looked at our emails. We said as you can see, I posted the picture on our Facebook page, and you'll see the original post that is approving the one picture on the left, and they approved the wrong one on the right, where they completely altered everything. I don't know how this is a mistake.
Yeah, and just to be clear, there's nothing, when you go back through all those emails and all the communication, there was nothing in your view that could have led to this kind of error.
Let's put it this way. My lawyers looked at it, three lawyers, and it's clearly stating that I approved it. They said, okay, we're going to print this. It's a go.
Yeah. Just joining me. I'm talking with Seth Larson.
People from them. Go ahead.
Sorry, we're having a little bit of a difficulty with the cell phone connection. I'm talking with Seth Larson. He's the owner of Fred's Guns out of Squim. They placed an ad for their business in the Peninsula Daily News and the Squim Gazette. And in the ad, it originally said vote no on Initiative 1639, which is the anti-gun bill that you guys will get to vote on in the coming weeks. But when the ad actually appeared in the newspaper, the no part disappeared from the logo. So it just simply said vote Initiative 1639, which gives the impression that maybe Seth Larson, who owns a gun, owns a gun shop, all of a sudden is taking a position. Yes, I would like to support something that's anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, and maybe against the best interests of my business. So you've contacted lawyers. Are you going to sue?
I don't want to say I want to sue. I'm waiting for the publisher to call me to make it right. A front page, an apology. We will decide then. I have never sued anybody in my life. I'm not that way. That's not who I am as a man. But if it's not made right, I'm afraid I might have to take the hard stance.
What do you think is the actual damage that's been done, given the fact that you've posted something on your Facebook page that's gone viral? To your point, 100,000 or so people have already seen it. You're clearly communicating with folks that this isn't your position. So where's the damage?
The damage is it's my reputation. The damage is it's right next to a picture of my kids, my family, my wife. It's one of the biggest insults I've ever had. That's why I'm so mad, because here's the deal. That was my company name. That's mm-hmm. great. But my family is next to what they did. A picture of us smiling, showing that we support this bill that violates our Second Amendment right, and it violates all our veterans and our current military. It's an insult to my integrity. Okay, now I'm getting upset. So here's the deal. This goes against every fiber in my body. This bill is a sham. The fact that it is even on the ballot is a sham. That's where I stand, brother.
So just to be clear, you're against 1639. I'm kidding. So what do you think happened then? If you don't believe that there could have been a mistake, that explanation, strange credulity, do you think there was nefarious intent?
I don't want to put that on them at this point. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But as right now, I will forward you the email so you see it's very clear what our intent was and what was published. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, well, then we'll ask you to send over those emails, because, look, we want to do what's right in covering this story. And we've reached out to the newspapers to get a sense as to what exactly happened. They haven't responded yet. Now, to be fair, they've been talking with you, and kudos to them for actually having the ability, the willingness, I suppose, to talk to you directly to try to explain what happened. We'll take a look at these emails. We'll continue to reach out to the Peninsula Daily News and the Squim Gazette. But for those of you who are wondering, Fred's Guns does not support 1639. It was an ad that was placed in error, or in this case, something was removed from the ad, seemingly in error. We're going to try to figure this out. And before I let you go, just because now I'm curious, Seth Larson is the owner, but it's called Fred's Guns.
Fred's Guns 2.0 has been in business, or Fred's Guns has been in business for 43 years in Squim, Washington. My wife and I purchased it 3 years ago from Fred and Linda, and now it is called Fred's Guns 2.0, and we love our veterans and our customers and the American way.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's my son's birthday today. We are heading to the zoo. I really appreciate you having me on. I would love to talk more with this about this in the near future when we get some answers. And I will come back on your show, I promise.
No, I appreciate that. Remember, though, to come back on the Jason Rand Show on KTTH, because I'm just filling in for Dory today. Just make a little mental note of that. We'll be good. Fredsguns.com is the place to go. I've been talking again with Seth Larson. He's the owner of Fred's Guns. And again, he is not in support of 1639, despite what you may have seen in the Peninsula Daily News and the Squim Gazette. Fred, thank you so much for joining me this morning, or this afternoon. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your time, brother. God bless you.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
So I've got a story in front of me that is promoting an idea that is, in my view, wildly irresponsible and probably even dumber than it is irresponsible. And it's an idea that just won't go away. It kind of feels like Hillary Clinton, where it keeps popping up. You don't really want to hear from Hillary Clinton at all. You don't want to have to talk about Hillary Clinton anymore from a variety of perspectives. People who maybe supported her and still feeling really bad about it. Others who are like, we don't want to hear from you again. And yet it pops up and up and up again. That's the kind of the way I feel about this I-5 lid that we're talking about. And we put lid in air quotes. The plan in the Seattle area is to spend about $500 million to build a lid over I-5 in downtown, basically to cover it as if it were an overpass. And however, instead of putting more car lanes on top of it to make it easier maybe to get from downtown Seattle and South Lake Union to Capitol Hill, which is where this would be, they are planning to put a whole bunch of park space on there, maybe some affordable housing, whatever that means, because they never really are clear about that. And it's about 20 acres worth of space. And I thought we were done with this dumb idea because it feels like we've been talking about it for, what, 2 years now? And it's clearly not going to go anywhere because it's $500 million, okay? And that, by the way, is a low estimate of the cost. And I don't know about you, but I've paid attention to some mega projects in the Seattle area, and they're never on budget, and they're never on time. So I kind of wish that this would just go away. And yet here I am. I see a report on Como 4. No clue why they're talking about it, other than I believe activists are trying to sort of gin up some momentum on this, which kudos to them, because this is definitely the right time to ask for $500 million on what would be a vanity project to build a park and some affordable housing at a time where, oh, I don't know, we got a homelessness crisis. We got the drug issue. We've got the fact that we don't have enough money right now to pay for the cops who have been gone, who have gone without an actual contract for the last 4 years. But yeah, let's spend $500 million on a stupid cover for a part of the city that doesn't actually need it. Sounds like a great plan. Let's just move forward. And they're looking at Councilmember Sally Bagshaw. She is not going to be running for re-election. She's going to make that announcement probably within the next couple months or so. She's trying to keep it a secret, but everybody knows. And she wrote a blog about this just about a month and a half ago. She says, reimagining how we can reconnect our neighbors along I-5 is within our grasp. So close. Lidding provides us with a tried and true way to create a new public space while reducing the noise and pollution which spills into the neighborhoods. And pretty much everybody who is not a crazy person, who's not a crazy transit activist, looks at this and is like, I'm not paying for that.
The lid is not a tax. It's not something we get to vote for. It's an assessment. I can think of better things to do with my $10,000 than to give it to a city council that I have no trust in at this point.
Yeah. No one wants to give over our money for this. This is wild. Why can we not just kill it? Just take it in the backyard, right behind the shed. Get the little shotgun out. Just put it out of its misery. Can we just end it? Can we just make a plan right now, a promise, a pledge? We're never going to talk about this again. We're not going to give them any airtime because they're just hoping to create this into some sort of narrative that, oh, look, there's momentum. It's going to happen. I can literally think of a million things that would be better, would better spend our money than this. Am I the only, Andrew, jump in, am I crazy?
No, I don't think.
Can we just move on?
I don't think you're crazy, but, you know, there is another lid project going on. In fact, there's a lid tax right now that's being proposed, $200 million on the waterfront property owners to have them pay for improvements that the voters decided that they wanted. So they're going to try and push that tax burden, certainly on the adjacent property owners up there as well.
Can we just stop with the nonstop taxing just for, like, give me a month reprieve to kind of just refocus my energy, because it's getting to the point where my energy is being depleted by being angry over this stuff so often. Just give me a month. Just a break. Just 1 month break, and then, like, spring it on us. Just stop this prolonged stuff, because the one thing that I know is not a good idea is to start talking about it again now. Don't start talking about it right now, because you're not going to be able to sustain that kind of energy moving into a time where maybe, just maybe, the public will have input. Because right now, everyone's against it. Right now, there's no reason to have it. And why is this important? Because I can hear in the back of my head. In fact, I'm sure we're going to get a text message on the Online Training Academy text line at 98973. Someone's going to say, ugh, this is a Seattle issue. I am so glad that I moved to Marysville. I'm so glad that I live in Sammamish or Tacoma, Renton, Puyallup, wherever it is. This doesn't really impact me. Understand it impacts you. Because number one, really bad ideas that come from Seattle, when you don't challenge them, they tend to spread. They tend to come into your neighborhood. Case in point, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later on. Gig Harbor all of a sudden is thinking about banning plastic bags, although they're not going to call it a ban. They're calling it a restriction. And plastic straws. That started in Seattle. The plastic bag thing went from Seattle to Tacoma. Kirkland right now is also thinking about the plastic straw ban. So the bad ideas that start in Seattle, they spread. But number two, God forbid you're actually in your car and you have to commute through Seattle and you have to go across I-5. Understand that this kind of construction is going to murder the commute every single day. Because they're not going to do it on overnights. They're not going to do it on weekends. They're going to do it in the middle of the worst possible times. And they're only going to do it during the summer because you can't build, I guess, during the rain. Right? And so it's just going to be a total nightmare, which means you're going to be impacted on 520. You're going to be impacted on I-90. You're going to be impacted on 405. Like, everything that even comes remotely close to I-5 is going to be impacted. Please, please, please run away. Finally, let's find out what is else. And I forgot, because usually on my show, we just move on to the next thing, but you've got a button to push.
See? The Big Lead, Top National.
That's the other Andrew pushing the button. Thank you. Everyone's still trying to figure out why Nikki Haley decided yesterday to announce that she was going to resign at the end of the year. Usually people don't do it right before the midterm elections. And just to remind you, this is what she said was the reason behind her deciding, yeah, I'm calling it quits at the end of the year.
I was governor for 6 years, and we dealt with a hurricane, a 1,000-year flood, a church shooting, a school shooting. There was a lot. And then to come in and do 2 years of Russia and Iran and North Korea, it's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits.
Can I just real quickly say, I get it, but I've been here since 3:30 a.m. This is the second show I'm doing. If I can do the extra work, I think she can stick around for just a little bit. Now, part of me doesn't want to see her go because I really, really like Ambassador Haley. I think she's done tremendous work standing up for this country and being a really good ally to Israel. So I don't want to see her go. But now there's a whole bunch of people who are speculating, why is she going there? Something else must be there. Something smells fishy. Here is our very own Congressman Denny Heck.
So it may be that Mr. Bolton's involvement in this is a part of why Ambassador Haley departed. I think that's one of the more interesting questions. Why did she leave and why now? You know, the norm is that an ambassador to the UN serves more like 4 years because of the importance of depth of relations. And certainly it would have been more in the norm for her to have waited until after the election to make an announcement. It's all very curious. As my colleague Mark Sanford said, there's something not quite right here. Maybe in the fullness of time we'll better understand this. Maybe she departed suddenly and prematurely because she wanted to get out ahead of a midterm election disaster that she would be at least secondarily associated with. Or maybe she wanted to depart prior to the issuance of a report by special counsel Bob Mueller. We just don't know yet, and hopefully we will someday.
We don't know, but I will happily, as a Democrat, jump in and push all of these conspiracy theories that just happen to make the Trump administration look really, really bad. I don't know any of the facts, but I will just throw out, it's probably bad for Trump. Now, I'm not entirely sure, but we do have a midterm election coming up, and so it really benefits the Democratic Party for me to pretend that this is really bad news for Trump.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
That, my friends, is called hitting the exact time that now I'm over because I started to humble brag there. You're listening to The Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rance filling in. You can normally catch me on AM 770 KTTH from 6 to 9 a.m. every single morning. You want to send me a text, 98973. It's the Online Trading Academy text line. When we come back, a dad out of Tumwater is saying he is sick and tired of his son's school spreading liberal propaganda inside the classroom. We'll see if he actually has a point when we return right here on 97.3. I'm used to saying AM 770. Get off my back. It's Cairo Radio. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. I am Jason Rance filling in. My next guest is a dad who doesn't want political flyers in his son's classroom. Unfortunately, his kid's teacher at Tumwater High School, well, she's got other plans. Hanging in her classroom is a flyer meant to flaunt inclusivity, but generally it's all about pushing anti-Trump rhetoric and progressive talking points on immigration, Black Lives Matter, and other issues. Now, the school and the teacher aren't really responding to questions. The teacher, who I've reached out to three times, has not responded. And the Tumwater High School principal, Jeff Broom, simply said, "We've worked with the teacher and the family on this issue, and I have no further comment." Now, of course, we don't know exactly what this means. We have no idea what that means. The father, however, is speaking, and he's not happy with the way the Tumwater High School has been treating this particular scenario. Joining me on the line this morning is Eric Knudsen. He is the father of a teenager who goes to Tumwater High School. Eric, thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning, Jason.
So we're talking about your 15-year-old son. He goes to Tumwater High School. Where are you seeing these flyers?
Well, my son went to class when school started, and this particular flyer was posted inside one of his teachers' classrooms on the wall. And since that time, I've actually talked to the principal, and he advised me that there's actually a number of flyers in the school. He said something like 4 or 5 or something of that nature.
Now, you reached out to him because you were concerned that a political flyer was in your son's classroom.
Yeah, that's correct.
What did he say?
So he seemed to be pretty, like, receptive and responsive to my point of view. And essentially, I pointed out that, you know, there didn't appear to be any discourse occurring in the classroom. There didn't appear to be any point of view that were, in opposition to this flyer, or at least any discussion about different points of view. And it appears that the teachers are allowed to have quite a bit of leeway in the classroom, and that as long as it's not disruptive, then the school's not going to take any action as far as requiring the teacher to remove the sign from the wall.
What's interesting about this is all these statements, you know, taken by itself without any context, it's not inherently political, but the way that it's used is used to virtue signal, and there are a reason why it's progressive teachers who are putting this up. Some of the language on the flyer, for example: "Dear Mexican students, you are not rapists or drug dealers, you are love." So it's a clear reference to President Trump. "Dear female students, men cannot grab you, men will respect you, demand it, you are loved." Again, that was a reference to President Trump. "Dear black students, in this classroom, your life matters. Dear undocumented students, in this classroom, there are no walls." So this is all inherently political, even if you might agree with the sentiment of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And so why are you upset that these flyers are up, and is your son upset?
I don't know if upset is the right word. I think that my point is that I don't think the school is a place to be essentially indoctrinating students into a way of thinking. I don't think the school should necessarily be absent of politics or should be some sort of politically sterile environment. I think if there are political signs up, then there needs to be some discourse about that. There need to be a discussion about different points of view. And I think that just simply putting a sign up and not having a discussion about it, not having different points of view, is essentially just some sort of, you know, silent indoctrination program or a virtue signal towards, like, hey, this is what you ought to be thinking. And there's really no discourse as far as I'm aware.
So then it sounds like you're saying you don't necessarily disagree with the content, you disagree with the lack of discourse. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I disagree with the notion that this sign in and of itself is not divisive.
Yeah.
And I think that anytime you start dividing and singling groups of students out by their race, identity, sex, then you start leaving other groups out. And I think that we need to talk about this as a nation, as a community, and have some discourse about these issues. So, I'm not opposed to, you know, teachers having their own political beliefs, or even, you know, I know they're allowed to, you know, wear campaign buttons or to say they're voting for a certain candidate and discuss what their beliefs are. But I think that it does a disservice to simply, you know, push one agenda. And that's what I think this sign is essentially doing, is pushing identity politics without having a discussion in the classroom or at least having some discourse about alternate points of view.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Eric Knutson. He is a father. His two kids go to Tumwater High School. His 15-year-old is in a classroom where a political sign is hanging, a flyer is hanging, that does push racial identity politics in his view, and clearly is a response to some of the comments that presumably the teacher of the school is upset that Donald Trump made during the campaign season. What does your 15-year-old son think of all this?
Well, I think he's kind of in line with, you know, what we've discussed this morning. And he thinks that, you know, the sign is kind of offensive to him. And he, I think he would, you know, either prefer that the sign is taken down or at least a sign that, you know, points out some different ways of thinking would be put up so people can actually have, you know, some thought about what's behind the sign. One thing I'd like to clarify is that the principal actually informed me that these signs have been up for a couple of years, and they were actually distributed by the school counselors for people who wanted to receive these signs and have them in their classroom or put them in a school. So I was told that the teacher didn't actually create this sign herself.
Sure. And I've seen this sign before. This is not a sign that was good clarification. This was a sign that was made during the Trump campaign after some of the comments that he made. It was not made by this particular teacher who put it up. I'm not entirely sure I know who put it up, but I've seen this messaging. I've seen this sign in the exact same design for at least the last year or so. But to your point, it's been up for about 2 years, or at least it's been out there for 2 years. Are you satisfied with how the school is handling your concern?
Not really. I mean, I think we need to continue to discuss this because I've done a little bit of research, so I'm not really certain as to where. I don't think precedence has been set as far as case law goes regarding what teachers are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do specifically in the classroom regarding political-oriented signs. And it seems like the school district or the school is actually the determiner of whether or not that sign is acceptable to be posted in the classroom or whether it's not. And so it's really they leave it up to the teacher, and then the threshold seems to be, is that sign disrupting the classroom? And if it's not, then the sign is left up at the teacher's discretion. In a perfect world, I would want some sort of process where an evaluation is made regarding political equality in the schools. So not that I'm for more bureaucracy or a larger government, but perhaps if there is a group of students that were, you know, allowed to evaluate signage and posters, and, you know, if they're considered politically neutral, that's perfectly fine. If they're considered, you know, essentially pushing a certain political agenda, then allow for a different point of view to be posted with that sign. Well, I think there's kind of a culture of almost normalcy for identity politics to be supported in school systems. And I think that it should not be normalized for one point of view to be acceptable in the school system without an opposing point of view. I mean, I think we should be teaching our kids how to be critical thinkers. I don't think we should be I don't think teachers should be imposing values on our school children.
Look, there are a lot of parents out there who hold that exact same position. We're going to continue to dig into this story. Again, I've been talking with Eric Knutson. He is a father of a pair of students at the Tumwater High School who have at least one teacher with one of his students posting this political flyer on in front of everybody without any sort of counterbalance. He's upset. He brought the story to me, and now the story is in your hands, everyone out there. So especially if you're at the Tumwater High School as well, you should be at least demand that there's some equal time so that you're getting some of your positions also expressed in these classrooms, or just take them all down. In any case, Eric, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, sharing this story. It sounds like you are raising a really good kid, so kudos to that. Kudos in that regard. And hopefully the school will start taking your concerns a little bit more seriously.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
You're listening to The Dory Monson Show on 97.3 FM, Cairo Radio. I'm Jason Rance, filling in for Dory. We're back after this. Welcome back to The Dory Monson Show. I'm Jason Rance, filling in for him. He'll be back tomorrow. CNN is pushing this narrative suggesting that Ivanka Trump is being seriously considered for the UN ambassador role now that Nikki Haley has decided to leave at the end of the year. And it's one of those instances that shows you why so few people actually trust CNN now. And it's really weird what CNN has done to its own brand, because they've decided to just lean in and be anti-Trump while pretending that they are an unbiased news source. And I have no problem if you want to be an anti-Trump media organization. Go for it. MSNBC is that, except they own it, right? They own it. Fox News owns the fact that they're for mostly conservative viewers. And you're going to get, however, on both channels, you're going to get way better analysis from different perspectives than you are with CNN. And I think this is another case in point of President Trump was reacting to this rumor that was just, it was a goof rumor that was put out on Twitter that Ivanka Trump, she's actually being considered to replace Nikki Haley. She's on the shortlist. Now, everyone knew that it was a joke, including, by the way, President Trump, who, speaking with news reporters, leaned into it a little bit and played the role of the really supportive father. And I shouldn't even say playing the role, because he's an incredibly supportive father. He's really good to his family, and he's good at pushing his brand of, if the name Trump is attached, you're a high quality person. Now, you could disagree with that, right? You can disagree. You can think, oh, he's a horrible president. Ivanka Trump doesn't know what she's talking about. But that's the brand. And he leaned into that brand.
I've heard Ivanka. I've heard, how good would Ivanka be? The people that know, there's nothing to do with nepotism, but I want to tell you, the people that know that Ivanka would be dynamite. But, you know, I'd then be accused of nepotism, if you can believe it, right?
Okay, so does anyone seriously listen to that and say, oh my gosh, I really think Ivanka Trump might be the next replacement for Nikki Haley? Oh my God, oh, I cannot believe it. No one does, unless you're on CNN. And Jake Tapper, who I normally like, he found Mark Sanford like wandering around a trail somewhere on the Appalachian Trail, and he brought him into the studio and he asked him his take on Ivanka Trump.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was all a joke. No one is taking this seriously, but continue.
I mean, the nature of the American political system is that we got, you know, roughly a pool of 300 million people to pull from, and we ought to. And there are a whole host of talented people, some with very considerable.
What? Wait. Did you know that there are a whole bunch of people that would be good to fill the role as UN ambassador? Did they send a breaking news alert out on that CNN analysis? Because that, please, former Governor Sanford, disgrace of South Carolina because you decided to cheat on your wife and lie about going out on a trail somewhere. Please continue.
Foreign policy experiences that could be pulled from with a post like this. And the idea of circling the wagons and saying, you know, we're going to run this like, again, a crime
Spit
organization is not the right example. I'm not using that.
You just used that. What do you mean you're not? I'm not going to compare it to a crime organization, except to say I'm not going to compare it to a crime organization. How about just not say crime organization, and then you won't have to clarify.
But we're just going to pick from family is crazy. That is, again, it's happened in a couple instances in this country.
From Trump? Okay, got it. Thanks, man. Really do appreciate that scintillating analysis. I think there's a future on CNN for Mark Sanford, although it only has to do with Nikki Haley news. So he's probably not going to be seen again until the end of the year when they finally decide that Nikki's leaving. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. 98973, it's the Online Trading Academy text line. I am Jason Rance. Yes, I'm returning to Cairo temporarily to fill in for Dory Monson. You can always check me out on AM 770 KTCH or do the morning show there. We're back with two more hours of this loveliness.